Now, space colonization, is this something you've put much thought towards? I mean, it's something that seems like a very far-off prospect for some as we play the Star Trek theme underneath this. It might seem like a bold dream, but the question is, should humans head off planet and start building homes among the stars? For decades, we've dreamed of leaving Earth behind, building new worlds on the moon, Mars, perhaps one day among the stars. And I don't mean Hollywood. It's a vision that's inspired science fiction writers, engineers, billionaires alike. I mean, Elon Musk, hello. He's calling for a multi-planetary future. And there's NASA's Artemis program aiming to return humans to the lunar surface. The idea of space colonization is no longer just fantasy. It's entering genuine policy discussion, investment portfolios, and the public imagination. But amidst all that excitement, what are the ethical questions that we should consider when it comes to colonizing space? What are our responsibilities to potential life in whatever form that may be, potentially, in other planets? And in recent decades, the West in particular has come to somewhat of a reckoning as to our colonial past. And is it something that we would want to replicate potentially in other planets in light of the destruction that it's caused here on Earth? Very big questions to talk us through it. I'm pleased to say Art Cottrell, research academic with the School of Global Governance and Regulation at the Australian National University, joins us on the line. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Nelson. It's good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. I mean, space colonisation, a good thing or a bad thing?
Look, I think firstly, it's a really important question to bring to your viewers and to raise the awareness around, well, what is actually happening off Earth and what are those plans are, because we do generally see that the general public doesn't have that sort of awareness or still thinks, as you said, like this is the stuff of Star Trek, for example. But when we ask that question of like, well, is this a good thing or a bad thing? There's a number of things that come to mind, like as you pointed out, like that sort of language around like the final frontier or colonizing Mars or the moon. And so people say, well, is this just a question of semantics? And it's not just a question of semantics, it's also how we see it as well. So when we're talking about going to the moon, or we're talking about, say, the Artemis Accords, which is US-led, or the International Lunar Research Station, which is led by China with Russia, or we talk about Elon Musk, it's this sort of framing of, well, who's going to arrive first? Is this about capturing resources? This is about a space race, or it's about like a billionaire space race. So it's that sort of language as well, and the mindset as to how we're doing this that is part of the problem.
How close are we to this becoming a reality, do you think?
Look, I think when you talk about someone like Elon Musk who has plans to go to Mars, like that, his timeframes are constantly getting pushed out for that. And the same with the plans that the Artemis Accords have as well. So the Artemis Accords from the US want to land on the lunar South Pole, and those timelines keep getting pushed out as well. So I don't see that we're going to be doing this next year, but there will be potentially returning to the moon in some form, even if it's not like this permanent habitation is the plans within the next 10 years and before, ideally, some say the end of 2030 in terms of just landing there. But it won't be this full-scale society that we're living in, say, in Sydney now.
Yeah.
It might just be robots to begin with.
Right. We've got a lot of issues here on Earth. Climate change, a very increasingly unstable geopolitical environment. Does colonising space risk exacerbating these crises?
Look, I think it potentially can, and that's part of my concern as well. When we see someone, obviously it's not all about Musk, but he does capture the imagination and often has like an outsized influence. Like in the last week, he's just been told that he could potentially end up with a $1 trillion payday. And what does that actually mean? Is that someone that is planning to establish, say, in future habitation on Mars? Like what sort of ethics are we launching off with that? We've seen him co-signing, for example, a lot of hate speech. There's a lot of evasion of regulatory accountability. And so I do think that there is a risk that we need to address what's happening on Earth before we actually go and launch it off space, so to speak. But this idea of, well, should we be, you know, inverted commas, colonizing space, I also think sometimes distracts us like it's an important question, but there's also something else which is really important, which is that it makes the everyday person feel, I think, quite far removed from space. And that's what gets lost in these sorts of discussions. So, you know, when we think about space, yes, we think maybe the billionaires, the rockets, the astronauts, all that sort of stuff, that every single day we're dependent on space technologies. And so in effect, we all have this responsibility towards space. We use it every day. Like the fact we're talking right now on radio, you know, we've got our computers up, probably maybe we use the GPS to get to work. Yes. All of that is telecommunication satellites. They're all space-based technologies. And so I think that's something that this is a really important discussion to have. And also, how do we connect with this idea and make people aware that actually space isn't out there, but it's part of our everyday lives and we're incredibly dependent upon it as well?
Yeah. When it comes to the ethics of, I mean, I'm going to use the word colonising, say somewhere like Mars, where at this point we don't have any evidence that there is life, is the ethics or lack of ethics in colonising dependent upon the presence of life in another planet? Is that the main concern?
Some people may say that is. I think my perspective is that part of the concern is actually the lens through which we see going to space. Mm. And so at the moment, we've got quite a number of startups that are looking to, say, mine asteroids or mine the lunar surface. So it's that sort of approach where space is seen through that sort of mindset of extraction or exploitation, or who's going to arrive there first in some sort of empire building approach.
Okay, right. What do you say to the argument that some people make that having a base for humanity outside of Earth is fundamental to our long-term survival? For instance, some people predict that in 4 to 5 billion years, the sun might die. There could be a meteor that killed the dinosaurs, potentially, or something of that nature. Do we need somewhere outside of Earth if our long-term goal is to ensure humanity endures?
To be honest, I think that the reason why we're also, or some people are looking off Earth as well, is because we've got so many problems here on Earth, as you rightly pointed to, accelerating climate change. We've got rising poverty in terms of, like, within countries and across the global north and the global south. We've got geopolitical conflicts that if those sorts of issues were also addressed on Earth, well, maybe the risk of actually needing to look elsewhere wouldn't be such a concern. So I think in many ways we need to address what is actually happening here before we frame going out to, say, Musk's perspective of, well, we need to become an interplanetary species because, in short, you know, the sun's going to explode, or the terminology that he used.
Yes, and that's interesting too, because it raises the question of who benefits from space colonization. Is it business? Is it governments? Do you think at the moment this sort of discussion is being done with the benefit of the population in mind, or is it more vested government and business interests?
Look, I think it's probably a bit of both. I do think that this is a really big question with space, which is, like, how do we balance public and private interests in terms of the activities? And it's not just about this idea of, you know, establishing a permanent base on the lunar surface and that being a gateway to, say, a lunar economy to resource extraction, but it's also all these sorts of satellites that we have in orbit and increasing debris. Like, I'm not anti-technology, and I think these sorts of discussions are really important for the public to have, because it fundamentally goes to, well, who does benefit and who doesn't, and how that actually risks exacerbating some of the divides and the haves and have-nots, so to speak, on Earth. So how could we actually use space in a way that there's more of a shared responsibility to it? And there's been a lot of important work that's been done by scholars across the Global South around that, and also here in terms of First Nations perspectives, as well as in terms of looking at space through this lens of shared responsibility and stewardship. And that's something that I've been doing some research on with William Grant from Aotearoa in New Zealand. Like, how do we actually reframe it, just not from this perspective of what do we take, but also how do we see a collective responsibility to space?
Yeah. Do you know how much discussion is going on in forums like the United Nations about how we, if this is to happen, how we manage this, and it doesn't, you know, be determined by a few powerful countries or powerful companies?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. So this is another thing that people sometimes think that, well, space is lawless, for example.
Yeah.
We do actually have foundational treaties back from the 60s, back when we went to the moon, and they've actually stood the test of time, particularly one called the Outer Space Treaty, which has a really important provision in it, which says that space should be for the benefit and interests of all countries. And that's not just the dominant, but also irrespective of economic and scientific development. And so what we see in terms of the UN, so there's a committee on the peaceful uses of outer space. They've actually got a working group at the moment that's looking at developing principles around space resources, which could be a shorthand as well for space mining. And what does that actually look like? And so they're grappling with these sorts of questions at the moment. And we did see some principles come out around May this year. But one thing that we need to think about, and that's not just about what's happening in space in multilateralism, but more broadly, is that we're struggling to get up those sorts of new binding treaties. A lot of things what's called soft law, which means it's a voluntary commitment. And so what we're seeing around space resources at that international level is more soft law principles emerging that are voluntary, but we are seeing different countries pass domestic laws around what sort of activities can occur. But I think we are seeing that sort of push and pull around how do we actually balance private and public interests within this and not shut down technology, but also how do we do this in a way that brings in ethics and not just the law, and how do we really learn from the past and amplify voices that might have been not in the room or were deliberately, you know, at times excluded from rooms, decision-making rooms.
It's fascinating, and it's one of those things that the cynic in me thinks that if there's money to be made in resources in space, unfortunately, I think we probably won't do it as best as we likely could, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing too, that money does drive interest at times. But one thing I would say too, that when we talk about, say, balancing public and private interests, even if, say, someone is very, you know, a commercial first perspective, as you were just suggesting some people might be, it's really important that it's not just the big companies that get there as well to do these sorts of activities in orbit, but also what are, you know, SMEs, small startups who might be looking at doing some of this or are doing this important work in orbit with satellites, whether it, even for, we've got bushfire season coming up, for example, we're incredibly dependent here on Earth observation satellites. To help us monitor and manage that. And so, like, how do we also amplify those voices too, which are providing a really important public good, so to speak?
Certainly. Art, I could chat all day, mate, but unfortunately the clock's got us. I'm sorry. But
thank you
so much for making the time.
Thanks so much, Nelson.
No worries. Okay. Art Cotterill, research academic with the School of Global Governance and Regulation at the Australian National University in Canberra, unpacking what is a very deep and fascinating topic that